Good morning. It is Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, and we are excited for today's show. We're excited that we can be up and taking a deep breath this morning. And if you're just waking up, we're glad that you are here with us. This is Old Lion, Young Lion, and it is a great new show in 2024 that you have to be a part of. And if you have not heard this show before, we are a show that seeks to uncover truth and proclaim it boldly. You might be asking, well, why in the world would you call your show Old Lion, Young Lion? And that is a great question, listener. As you are waking up this morning and thinking, why would you call your show that? You are already on the right track. Why we call our show Old Lion, Young Lion is because we believe that we work for the greatest lion of all time, and that is Jesus the Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We also believe that the Bible teaches us very clearly that the righteous speak bold as lions, and so we will be doing that here on this show. My name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazleton, and we are a part of the pastoral team of Electric City Baptist Church, also known as ECBC, and we gather every Sunday at 10:30 and multiple other times throughout the week. We'd love for you to come join us for a regular gathering where we study the Word and we sing and worship Jesus together. And our address is 2350 Hamburg Street. Now, Old Lion, Young Lion, we are going on close to our 10th episode here, and we want you to know a little bit of a challenge that we've put out there, and that is you can email us now. Our email address is oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Again, that email address is oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. And we've challenged you to be able to send us an email and request a particular topic that we might talk about on the show and or a question that you might have in regards to a biblical topic. If your email makes it onto our show, we will send you a piece of Old Lion, Young Lion merchandise. You will not want to miss out on this. So we have a little bit of a tradition here on this show that we kick the show off with a word of prayer. And so I'm going to ask our resident Old Lion here, Sam Hazleton, if you would kick us off with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you today for this opportunity. We're in the book of Colossians this week again. And Father, we thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for preserving it for us. This Paul the Apostle, who went through much suffering, much difficulty in his life, and you, by your Spirit, carried him along. And you preserve this word for us to have to this day. Father, I pray that as we open up this word, as we talk about it today, that your Spirit would lead us and that every single person within the sound of our voice would understand the word, receive it into their hearts, and be transformed by it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we also, we pray a blessing all over all those that are listening. And we hope that this show, it gives you an opportunity to come closer and closer, not only to God's word, but also the author, God himself. We've been talking about the book of Colossians. Now, the book of Colossians, we're about to go over a little bit about what we've talked about last week, but the book of Colossians is a book that was written from a man named the Apostle Paul. He wrote this book while he was in prison. And we believe that it was also inspired by God. This is God's word written to us, and it's for today. It is relevant for the time that it was written, and it's relevant to you today. And so let's talk about what we went over a little bit last week in Colossians chapter number 1.
Yes, we started off, we talked about in verse 2, this letter was written to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. And we talked about the vertical relationship between a saint and God,
right,
as well as the horizontal relationship of the believer in Christ to all his fellow believers, the brethren. And we also talked about the word of truth, the gospel, this seed that goes down into the soil of human hearts, and it germinates, it grows, and produces fruit. We talked about in verse 11, where Paul was asking that the church of Colossae would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Why? So that they could endure suffering, so that they could patiently await Jesus, so that they could have joy even in the midst of their trials.
Wow.
Finally, we talked about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, these two spiritual kingdoms that exist beyond the realm that we can see with our five senses. And so we saw that the kingdom of darkness was started by this character, Satan, the serpent, who rebelled against the Most High God, was banished from heaven, and we have the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of light, who has saved us, called us, forgiven all of our sins, and brought us out of the grips of Satan into his own kingdom.
Now, we believe that the Bible is factual. It's true from page one till page done. And so we expect that even though we're sharing a little bit about what God's word said is in the book of Colossians, we expect that you would take it upon yourself to go and seek out some of the things that are written in this book after the show is over. But when we come to this conclusion at the beginning of Colossians chapter number one, we get told that you have the opportunity to be moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So you might be asking this question, who has the authority to be able to move somebody from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? And that's a great question, because Colossians answers this in the very next breath. As we continue on in Colossians chapter number 1, in verse number 15 and 16, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, that he's the firstborn of every creature, that by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. So what we have here in this scripture, in this small book of the New Testament of your Bible, is a little resume that gives the attributes of who Jesus is. And if you've ever thought that Jesus was just some hippie walking around doing some good deeds, or if you thought that he was some guy floating on cloud throwing lightning bolts down at all the people that are doing bad, you miss the point of what the scripture says. What it tells you is that Jesus is not only a great redeemer and friend, Jesus is not only a savior and someone who will walk with you through your hardest times. Who he is the king of the kingdom of light. Who he is the creator of all things. It dispels the idea of this Saturday morning cartoon Jesus and gives you the truth that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, Colossians chapter 1 continues on and says that Jesus, by him, by this Christ, all things in the world consist. It says that he is before all things. It says that he is the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And he demands respect. He demands your attention. And he is not unworthy of that demand.
Yeah, he deserves your attention. He deserves your respect for sure.
That's exactly right. And Sam, when you kind of hear that first little resume, that description of who Jesus is in Colossians 1, what are some things in those verses that really draw your attention?
Well, I love the fact here in him, all things, you mentioned they consist or they hold together, and all things are held together by him. Literally, Jesus is the binding force of the atom.
Wow.
And physicists have been struggling with this question for years, trying to figure out what is it that holds together these protons and neutrons in these atoms. And the answer is simple. In Jesus, all things hold together.
I think that's so good. I think it's so good. And I think that the creator, once we recognize that Jesus is that creator, it gives him a special place in our life, because not only does he give us the opportunity to become one of his children, he created us in his image. He's the one that gave me breath this morning. He's the one that allows me to walk. He's the one that gives me the opportunities in this world, because he is the author of life. He's the creator. This Jesus, by him, all things consist. I found it interesting in that description, that list of things as it's describing Jesus, where it talks about that there are thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. That's an interesting phrase that it uses in that little group of verses.
Right. This is part of what he created. You know, we think of rocks and trees and oceans and rivers and things like that, but it's also part of the things that he created. was this spiritual realm that you and I, our five senses, our five natural senses, cannot perceive.
Now, it seems sometimes it's difficult to imagine the spiritual realm, but I think as we read scripture, we find that it is an ultimate reality that even though we live in the natural, there is a supernatural realm.
That's right. And so here is, we talked about Satan last week and how kind of he got his start by rebelling from God. We learn elsewhere in the book of Revelation in particular that Satan, when he rebelled against God, he took one third of God's holy angels with him. They were carried along with his deception.
Wow.
They bought into his plan. So we have this cosmic conflict that we're dealing with, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. And you would think that, hey, we've got two-thirds of the angels working for God, one-third of the angels working for Satan. Sounds like a blowout. Except that Satan also had another trick up his sleeve.
Whoa.
So the Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 6 that at one time before the flood of Noah, that the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and saw that they were fair, saw that they were beautiful, and they took to wife such of them as they chose. They went into the daughters of men and procreated. They had these beings called the Nephilim. These were the fallen ones that were the giants that were in the earth before the flood. And this is one of the reasons why God had to flood the earth during the time of Noah.
Let me just say this before you go on, which what amazing information you're sharing. But you may be out there listening to this show and you might see the local news or you might be watching cable news and you're saying there's something more. You've had an inkling or a feeling that there's something deeper going on in the world rather than just what you hear on the local television channels. Guess what? You're right. And the Bible is where we find this information about this this kingdom of darkness.
Right. And so these fallen ones, these Nephilim, these hybrid between fallen angels and people, were most of the people that were alive at the time when Jesus lived during the early church believed the following. They believed that the disembodied spirits of these creatures, these giants, became the class of spiritual being that we call demons, or that we call unclean spirits, or devils. And so these are different than the angels that fell with Satan. These are these disembodied spirits. And if you read about the ministry of Jesus when he walked the earth, this was a huge part of his ministry, was casting these unclean spirits, these demons, out of people and setting them free.
What gives new life to the phrase WWJD? When you hear the term WWJD, what would Jesus do? You're not really counting in that what did Jesus do a bunch? Is cast out demons. This is a part of the regular story of the Bible. Don't let someone confuse you to think that this book is not supernatural. It also doesn't tell the truth. But what it does do is the one by whom the whole world consists, Jesus. This is who the Bible is all about. This is what the Bible talks about. And this is who Colossians is talking about. That when it talks about that Jesus created all of these things, he is the end, he is the beginning, he is what it's all about. He is the one that deserves to have this preeminence.
That's right. And so when you talk about this kingdom of darkness, you have people in the world today, we hear a lot about things like mental illness. We hear a lot of things about chemical imbalances. And these are very often examples where unclean spirits, these demons, have influenced or affected or put things upon people, and these are being misinterpreted by the people of our day as being a mental problem or being a chemical problem, when in reality, they are a spiritual problem and need to be dealt with spiritually.
When Jesus is called in the scripture the great physician, we find out that when we have an issue or a problem that we'd like solved, we go everywhere in the world for an answer except Jesus. You might be listening again to this show in the middle of a major battle in your life, and you've tried every option. You've tried everything at your resource. You've tried everything at your means that you have with your ability to do, and you're at the end of the line. And you know who's still there? You know who's still standing? You know who's still waiting for you to come? This very Jesus, who is your creator, who is the one that deserves all preeminence, who is the one that by him all things consist. He wants to be your healer, redeemer, and savior. The great lion of the tribe of Judah, the great King of Kings, and the great Lord of Lords is the one that would like to bring you into the kingdom of light.
Well said. So we go on, we continue here in Colossians. It says, for in Jesus, in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, through Jesus, that is, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Wow.
And so, verse 21, and you who were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So this is the will of God, that those who are enslaved, captives in the kingdom of darkness would be set free, translated, transferred over into the kingdom of his beloved son.
Well, don't you just love the contrast that gets put out here? There is two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of light and there is the kingdom of darkness. And it describes both of those. It talks about the saints in light, and also it describes those who have wicked works and hath not yet been reconciled. Right. So there are two groups of people out there in the world, and you are in one of those two groups. You are either in the kingdom of light or you are in the kingdom of darkness.
And it's important, too, that sometimes we have this tendency to kind of flatter ourselves. Sometimes we have this tendency to see ourselves as being one of the good guys, when in fact, in reality, we're hiding the fact that we are enslaved to certain sins, certain passions and pleasures.
Wow.
And the best thing we can do is take a good, hard, honest look in the mirror and recognize, hey, which kingdom am I really part of?
And we have other parts of the scripture that give us real good wisdom and truth in regards to this. In the book of James, it tells us that the wise man will look in the mirror and see what things are wrong and does not run away from those things, but corrects them. So that might be you today. And if you're driving in your car right now, why don't you just look right up at the rearview mirror, you look yourself right in the eye and ask yourself this question: am I in the kingdom of light or am I in the kingdom of darkness? Colossians gives us the answer and solution. It shows up in the very next verse, in verse number 23.
If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. So, Anthony, maybe you can give us some insight into that notion.
What we find in chapter 1, this contrast is being drawn of those that are enemies of God and those that are on God's team. And we're kind of left waiting to find out, okay, so how do we get on God's team? How do we find out how to be not in this team of darkness? How do we find ourselves in alignment with God? And then Paul writes this beautiful verse that says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. He drops this power line, this mic drop moment, where he says, it's all about faith in the gospel. You might ask, what is faith in the gospel? The gospel, the word gospel just means good news. And here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ, who was on the throne of heaven, left his throne and came down to earth, was born of a virgin and walked this entire earth and never committed one act of sin, never did anything that was wrong. He walked perfectly. And then what the world rewarded him for this perfect life was they killed him. They nailed him to a cross. They put a crown of thorns upon his head and they killed him. But the Bible teaches us that according to the scriptures, 3 days later, he rose from the grave, he rose from his tomb, and with death and the keys to life in his hand, he says to all those that place their faith in him, you can be made a new creation. You can be placed into the kingdom of his dear son. In order for you to be able to be translated, to be moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, it's all about what do you do with the information that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again to give you life. Do you believe it? Have you placed your faith in him? Or are you working for your own good? Are you still alienated and enemies in your mind doing wicked works? Have you decided in your heart and in your mind that you can place your faith in Jesus Christ and maintain that faith.
Yes, and it's interesting, just like we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to become part of that kingdom of light, what is now keeping people in the kingdom of darkness is believing the lie. The lie is simply this, that without God, you can be like God. And so people take that and they internalize that, they believe that lie, and they become a captive to that lie. And so it's a matter of really faith, whether you're in the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light.
And that is so good. I think that, you know what, Sam, I think people need to hear that, that if they believe the lie that they can be the master of their own reality, that they can be the god of their own kingdom, then ultimately those people are in the kingdom of darkness.
Correct. That's really the definition of it.
And that is one of the saddest features of the world that we live in today, is that people are, they believe that they're their own god. They're selfish. They seek after their own. They deny the King of Glory who bought them.
Mm.
But this Colossians, the book of Colossians, we're only in the first chapter. This has been some powerful stuff. As it goes on, Paul states that as it goes on in this chapter, in verse number 24, Paul states that he now rejoices in his sufferings, that for the body's sake, he takes on sufferings for the church's sake. What is Paul talking about here? What does he mean?
Well, we talked about this before last week, and we mentioned that Paul was a lightning rod. A lightning rod is a metal pole that you attach to your house, and so that when the lightning strike comes down, it hits the rod, it gets dissipated into the ground, rather than taking out the precious and valuable house. And so this was kind of Paul's role a little bit. We mentioned that everywhere he went, there was a revival and a riot. And so Paul went through many sufferings. He was in jail. He was imprisoned many times. He was beaten many times. He was even stoned, we talked about. Here's Paul. He is actually this lightning rod who's diverting the lightning strike away from the rest of the church. He's filling up in his own body what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his church. And so when Paul lived, he was constantly suffering. He was constantly being chased around and punished. And that was drawing fire away from the rest of the church. The rest of the church was growing, flourishing all over the Roman Empire.
I love that, because Paul, in like fashion of Jesus, says, what is true love but that a man lays down his life for his friend? And Paul operates like Jesus by laying his life down. The book of Colossians gives such hope. And chapter 1 ends with this massive hope and tells us of this mystery that's been hid from age and age to come. And now we get this. The revelation of the book of Colossians we now can go into. And this is what the Bible says is the mystery. It says, the mystery among all the Gentiles is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. There are so many strategies and schemes in this world that try to teach you how to become a better person, that teach you how you can make your life a little bit better. But ultimately, there's one thing that changes you. Ultimately, there's one thing that can sustain true change, true transformation, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible says that he not only died for us and for our sins, but in a way, he died as us. When we believed in Jesus Christ, our old self died with him on the cross. When we were baptized in water, we were buried with him in that baptism. When we came up out of the water, we were reenacting, if you will, his resurrection. When we believed on Jesus, our old self died, our spirit came alive, and now the Spirit of Jesus Christ came in and indwelt us. That's why it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
And this brings up another point that we kind of, maybe sometimes we kind of oversee. We don't really dig into it. And that is that Paul has this entire journey of writing these books and going on these missionary trips and having these sufferings and having these trials happen to him. But Jesus has these very interesting words, and he says this. He says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, my yoke, Jesus says this, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you have been in just struggle after struggle after struggle, you're tired every day. Let me tell you something. Humanity was not meant to wake up, pay bills, and then die. You are meant for a purpose. Jesus has a mission for you. He believes that you're valuable. He believes that you're worthwhile. He came by himself to lay his life down for you. If you've considered that your life is just to run around, do as much fun experiences as you can find, live in ultimate toil, and then die, you've missed the point. The mystery of this whole thing is that Christ in you is the hope of glory. He died so that you might live.
Here we were, stuck, captives in this kingdom of darkness, behind bars, in a prison camp. Jesus was that heavenly Rambo to come and pull us out of that bondage, to bring us forth unto liberty, so that we could do righteous works instead of wicked works, so that we could praise him instead of cursing him, so that we could live for him instead of living for ourselves.
This chapter is absolutely powerful, and it really just sets up the whole rest of the book that reveals to you how great it is to be in the kingdom of light. And I think we really need to end on this, that you need to be introspective of whether or not you're walking in the kingdom of darkness or whether or not you're walking in the kingdom of light. This chapter ends with Paul saying, "We preach Jesus Christ and warning every man and teaching him in all wisdom so that we might present every single man in Christ Jesus." That's how Paul describes what he's doing in this book, is that in the book of Colossians, he wants you to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the whole reason why he's doing anything, and you have to know about it. You may have tried everything. You may have researched all the religions. You may have looked into all the get-rich-quick schemes. You may have looked into all the strategies of life. Let me tell you, they all end in one road, and that is this, that true reconciliation and true redemption, true transformation, true new life only comes by one man, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Mm. So please email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Tell us what your questions are, your comments are. We'd love to hear your feedback. And as always, we look forward to seeing you at church.
Yeah, I'd love to see you there. Again, this is Old Lion, Young Lion, and we are signing off. Continue to go out there and preach boldly as lions. God bless.